Tapula doesn't miss a thing. You got to come strong. If you're coming at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Walt Tapula, Road Rage. We are back. Now we'll tell you about David Green. We won't even mention Henry Winkler, who's alive and well as of this moment. I don't think I've met anybody who's had a good experience with the IRS. You're not sure how to deal with the IRS. You haven't filed several years. You filed. You haven't paid. I don't know. Whatever the issue is, do not move to Idaho and try living off the grid and get eaten by a grizzly bear. Stay here where your feet are, as Deborah Sweeney always says. Do that. Do that. That's your best advice. Call David Green. Don't call some 1-800 number. You don't know who you're calling. David Green's been helping people with the IRS for over 20 years right here in the upstate of South Carolina. David has great working relationships with local and national IRS agents. He'll quickly get you the right solution. He's helped so many. Whether they put liens on your property, garnish your wages, whether an audit coming up, it doesn't matter. David can help you. The Green Law Firm understands the ever-changing tax laws, what the IRS will accept as a compromise. As a matter of fact, David Green understands the Fresh Start program, and he'll use this IRS program to your best advantage. The Green Law Firm can't change your past. They can certainly change your future. Get the peace of mind results you're entitled to from the local law firm that's been helping hundreds of folks in the upstate for over 20 years. The professional staff at the Green Law Firm can do it all. Do yourself a big favor. Call the Green Law Firm today for a free strategy session. Free. 271-7940, 271-7940. Stop by their office, 11 McGee Street in Greenville. On the web, greenlaw.legal. That's green, G-R-E-E-N-E, greenlaw.legal. Bengal John. John, how are you, John? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. Absolutely. I hope you guys are getting ready for a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you, John. You too.
Walt, I got a question. Yeah. And I don't know really what the answer is, so I'm going to ask you. So it looks like we're going to do 24 teams. I guess I'm right about that,
yep.
Right?
Yep, that's where we're headed. Okay.
All right. So if that's the case, all the teams, now correct me if I'm wrong, about 5 years ago before whatchamacallit took the Florida job, he was with the Raging Cajuns. If I'm not mistaken, that team right before he left went like 11-0 or 11-1, right? And they were screaming and hollering that they deserved a shot at the playoff. I think this was right when the new playoff system had started. And there was a team, Coastal Carolina, kind of same thing. They went 11-0 or 12-0 or whatever, won the league and all that. And then James Madison does it. My question to you is, Walt, when you put 24 teams in there, the level of competition in the latter part of that 24-team playoff, such as Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, those teams are not going to be competitive against a team like, let's just say Clemson, for instance. Okay, they don't have the depth. They've got some good players, but usually by the second half, these teams are out of the building. So, how does this make the playoff any better? I mean, I get it, you're allowing them in, and they've been moaning and groaning for years that they deserve a shot, but they're going to be one and done, Walt.
Look, Boise State represented a couple years ago when they played Penn State. That was a pretty good football game. They were legitimate. There have been other Boise State teams that were in the past that were certainly good enough to compete. I mean, we saw that. I mean, we saw Boise State woodshed Georgia in Atlanta. When Kellen Moore was the quarterback, and I'm not saying they're at that level now, but and the game has changed, and some of those programs have lost talent to major college football programs. But look, you're only going to get one spot for those teams, so that's how it's going to work. So I think they're worthy of one spot. I mean, there are going to be plenty of major college teams that are down at the bottom of that list that make it, that aren't going to be any better than those teams. I mean, if you're the seventh best SEC team, are you actually going to be better than Boise State? For example, I'm just using them as an example. I don't know that you are.
It just seems kind of futile to me, because if you look at it, the last probably 10 to 12 teams out of a 24-team playoff, just on paper, for the most case, I think probably if you played 10 games with those 10 or 12 teams against the competition, say Ohio State and the Mississippis and so on and so forth, you know where I'm going with the Texas A&Ms,
yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it just maybe I just don't see it working. I see disappointment.
What do you think? What do you think the lowest ranked team that could win the title would be? What position? What number?
Probably 10.
Well, and again, we just saw that. You know, in the past, the Miami Hurricanes would not have made the playoff. You know, when we had a 4-team playoff, the Miami Hurricanes barely squeezed into a 12-team playoff last year. And then they came within a whisker of winning the national championship. They could have missed the 12-team playoff altogether. And yet, it turns out they were one of the two best teams, clearly one of the two best teams. So, you know, look, sometimes you get teams that have injuries. They don't perform well. Using a pro example, the New York Giants, the year that they beat the unbeaten Patriots, they had a really pedestrian season and barely squeezed in the playoffs. Then they won the Super Bowl, you know, because they got better. And I think that's possible. And that's what college football has always left out, the possibility for a team to get better. I don't know what that answer is, John, with the lowest, because of what I just said, because of that type of example. I think there may be teams of that ilk. You know, maybe that team 18 one year has injuries and only goes 9-3 during the regular season, but when fully healthy and playing well at the end of the season, who knows whether they can win the whole thing. Listen, one of the things that's happened through NIL, et cetera, is some of these top teams have actually found their depth reduced. Kirby Smart keeps complaining that they're not as deep as they were before. So, in other words, these top teams seemingly suddenly are more vulnerable than they've been in the past. And that may open it up to some of these lower teams, too, that people think have no opportunity. But the bottom line, John, to me is this. This isn't about really whether Team 20 can win this thing or not. This is just about the opportunity to do so.
And exactly goes back to what I mentioned at first. And I think that part of it is correct, Walt. I don't think anybody's going to disagree that a team like, you know, Louisiana or James Madison or whomever that has 11 or 12 win season and wins their league doesn't deserve a shot. My point is, and I'm going to stick to this, is that most of those teams that win in that conference, that whole conference, is not as good as, let's say, the ACC or the SEC or the Big Ten.
Again, John, that's true, but these teams from the ACC and the SEC get blown out too. We've had the whole history of the college football playoff has been about blowouts. Even when it was four teams, we had blowouts, you know, And you know, you look at an Alabama last year, they got destroyed by Indiana. I mean, the year before, Herb Street was trying to tell us that Indiana can't play with Alabama. Then Indiana goes out and woodsheds them like 38-3 when they get a chance to play them.
But you said Alabama sucked in the middle of the season. I mean, you didn't have any confidence in them back in the middle of the season.
Right.
But that's not normally the case, right? You look at the past. I mean, the past is really all we have to go by. But traditionally, that's not the case, right? A team like Indiana, until Cignetti got there, was a doormat. You know that as well as
right,
I do.
But it's not true anymore. I mean,
it's not. And it's because of great coaching and great recruiting and doing the things the right way.
Right. Again, John, this is not – I'm not taking a shot at the SEC. I'm just going to try and use this as an example. The SEC, I mean, you have the commissioner of the SEC, Sankey, arguing that the SEC should have got seven teams into the playoff last year. Seven teams. He wanted
seven.
Well,
we all know that's crazy.
He even said
it's all about money to him
at one point. And he's trying to justify that. And then the whole league got just summarily wiped out. I mean, just destroyed in bowl season. One of the most humiliating years for the SEC in history. And I think it sort of shows where we are in the world of college football, that that's possible, that the entire SEC got destroyed, that none of them made the championship game again, and that they were just humiliated. I mean, I think they were 1-8 against other Power Four leagues in the postseason. And so, you know, it was just an unmitigated disaster. But that alone, John, I think shows the nature of the game now. That would not have been true a few years ago. And therefore,
well, and I think that's what's going to happen across the board, though, Walt. And you've said it 1,000 times. I'm not being argumentative. You know I'm not. What I'm saying is, I'm not an SEC fan. I'm an LSU fan.
Right.
Okay, I don't care what conference they play in.
That wasn't an SEC attack. That's to point out that a league that historically has been the best league just got eviscerated last bowl season. And what I'm saying is, I think that the whole picture has changed now. I think there's more competitive balance in the game of college football. For all the ills of NIL and portal, it has created far more competitive balance than we've ever seen before. So the notion of Team 18 is what I'm saying. Winning is just not so far-fetched anymore. I mean, the Indiana frigging Hoosiers, one of the worst teams in the history of the sport, just won the national championship with an unbeaten season.
Against Miami.
Right.
A power five. Yeah, absolutely. And there's no doubt that you're absolutely correct. And I wasn't being argumentative.
No, it's a fine conversation.
I'm not worried whether it's SEC. No, and I'm not worried about it whether it's SEC or not. It doesn't matter to me. My point completely is this. You take teams like, and I said this before, you take teams like Memphis, who have had a good run in the past, and the other teams that I mentioned, if you have this 24-team playoff, and obviously that's where we're headed, I just think the level of competition for those teams is less, and their conference are less than the Big
Ten. But
again,
this opens it up, John. They deserve a chance, okay? And there's only going to be one of them. And it's one of 24. Trust me, there are going to be a whole lot of teams with egg on their face when all this is over, and a whole lot of major conferences. So I don't think we need to worry about, you know, whether letting one lesser team in is going to alter the picture. I don't think it will. I think there'll be a lot of teams in similar circumstance. And John, we just don't know. There have been years that the best team of that level has performed really well and been nationally competitive.
But one final question, does this not open up a situation where you could have a 3 or 4 loss team sitting in a, you know, maybe, I mean, where before, you know, you had to win your conference and if you had 2 losses, you were close to being on the bubble. Now we could see 4.
Not just 3 or 4, it might be 5. I mean, I could see, you know, a situation where you have like an 8-5 Northwestern type team. I mean, I could see that type of thing. I mean, that's what 24 spots does. But, you know, again, I think, John, to me, look, they have their own reasons for doing this, okay? This is all financially driven, just to be clear. The coaches want it because they get bonuses for making the playoff. So it becomes easier to make the playoff. They get bonuses for it. We all know it's not the same, but they're still going to get bonuses for it. So there are cash reasons, monetary reasons for this expansion. So just so we're clear, that's what their reasons are. From my standpoint, again, I think we just witnessed the best playoff we've ever seen. Expansion was good for that. The end of the year was amazing. The championship game was incredible. And it involved more areas of the country and more opportunity. I think that's what this does. From my standpoint, it opens up opportunity for more people. And let's let them play. Let's find out. Let's find out. Because I think the top has never been closer to the bottom.
That's the thing. I mean, the Illinois and the Indianas were nothing 5 years ago. You know that as well as I do, and now there's something.
Yep. So, John, I got to run.
Anyway,
good talking to you.
Yep,
good conversation. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. Hey, look, if you're a sports fan, man, I don't know what you're watching right now. I don't know if you're watching the NBA playoffs or Major League Baseball or the NHL playoffs or whatever it is you're watching right now. UFC, boxing, you can have it all at Twin Peaks. 29-degree draft beer served in a frosted mug, man-sized beer. Listen, it's incredible. When the temperature's 90 degrees out, there's nothing like a 29-degree draft beer from Twin Peaks. Trust me. Made from scratch, comfort food, wall-to-wall TVs with every game, every fight, every big moment. Twin Peaks girls developed in the signature lodge experience. Again, rustic mountain lodge atmosphere. It's incredible. It's beautiful. The women are beautiful. The food is the biggest surprise of the whole thing. Burger stacked high, cooked to order, smoked in-house wings and brisket, signature cocktails, ice cold drafts, seasonal specials, limited time menus, happy hour deals. Of course, the ultimate man cave sports lodge, UFC, boxing, football, basketball. If it's on, it's at Twin Peaks. It's not just on. Massive screens, perfect sight lines, 80 high-definition monitors, no matter where you sit. It's like you're in your own studio. Game day, watch parties, event nights, experience, and it's just incredible. Your lodge away from home, high energy, fun, friendly atmosphere, scenic views that have made Twin Peaks so famous. The perfect spot for guys after work hangout or weekend escapes. Look, come hungry, leave victorious. Cold beer, hot wings, the best views in the game, when every seat is the best seat in the house. Twin Peaks, eat, drink, scenic views. You will 100% thank me later. They're absolutely the best for a sports fan. Get there. Galen, I'm coming right to you.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer.
All coming your way. This is the last shot saloon. I mean, the last stand. Maybe Clemson's final home games, a series that Clemson 100% has to have any hope whatsoever. And quite honestly, probably needs a sweep in terms of the big picture and any hope for postseason. And look, do I think that's happening? No, I don't. I don't think this team has been good enough. Now, they're playing better. They're playing a little better. I'm going to get to this in a second. Let me get Galen in here first. Galen, how are you, Galen? Good to have you.
Hey, howdy ho, Walt. Hey, before I get to the playoff thing, that Coe Wetzel song you played,
yeah,
I heard it. I listened to you at work with some earphones while I'm working, and I went to Fox News to see what's going on with the Straits of Hormuz, and he was on the front page, and I listened to the whole song, and I'm not a country fan, but, man, that song is awesome.
It is. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good stuff. Nope. I came across it this morning.
Yeah, that lead guitar it's killer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, unbelievable, yep.
I'm kind of going to ride. I don't like the 24-game playoff, 24-team playoff. And let's say that Ohio State's my team, right?
Yep.
And I've got to go up against the Raging Cajuns. And I know it happened before in a four-team playoff where their best receiver got hurt, or he would have never, you know, they wouldn't have lost.
Yep.
And, you know, Georgia comes back, yep, and wins it. But if Ohio State's playing James Madison, if you've got a star quarterback, receiver, something, you're just giving them more chance to get hurt. And if, yeah, your star player gets hurt, if those that got hurt in the first round they played in, they wouldn't have won it. And I just hate it because of that. Injuries are,
yeah,
going to happen.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Galen, and it's one I've thought of as well. But, you know, both sides risk injury. You would think that, you know, if Ohio State plays a lesser team, that if injuries occur, they're much more likely to occur to the lesser team than they are to Ohio State. But you're right. I mean, you can be hurt in any situation playing football. But, you know, that's also true all regular season. It's also true just in the nature of the game. I do get that element of it, but to me, it's just more. Let me ask you this, because the argument you're making, which again I get, but you could have and would have argued that before we went to 12. When we expanded to 12, you could have made that same argument. But would you agree that, like, last year's playoff with the 12 was the best playoff we've seen?
I will agree. I didn't want to go to 12, but I do agree with you 100%. Yes.
See, and
if you look at it, add another two games, the percentage of injury to that star player, I mean, gets higher and higher every time they walk out on the field. And I know they could trip in a dorm room and hurt themselves, but
I get your point. It's a fair point. We aren't going to play conference championship games anymore, so that it'll be reduced in that situation. You know, you would think if one of these teams is playing a lesser team that the game would be over relatively soon, so that risk would be minimized, that you wouldn't have guys playing the entirety of the game. But I get your point. I think with some of the things we've seen, again, all these evils of NIL and transfer portal, and I think I think there are a lot of them. I think college football is in a bad place. I think it's 100% true. But having said that, the one thing I can't quite get past is that just from a watchability standpoint, it's more interesting than it's been in a long, long time because the talent is spread out. You know, again, you hear Kirby Smart complaining that he doesn't have the depth that he had before. And you see the rise of an Indiana, for example. And these are things that we never would have thought we would see in the world of college football. But that's what we're seeing. And I think we saw that in the 12-team playoff. And so, to me, the 24 team is just about more opportunity and more of those teams. And as the game spreads out and the depth of the elite teams is reduced, then I think it leads to the possibility of more upsets. And again, I appreciate the fact that you, for example, were against the 12 originally, but admit that now the 12 you actually like, that you found it more entertaining and you thought last year's playoff was great. I think we almost have give this a chance because I'm still thinking that if 12 is good, 24 might be better. We'll find out.
Well, tell me this. The only reason why we're doing this, the 24, is only because of the Big Ten and the SEC.
That's
the only reason why.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, their reasons for wanting it are completely different than mine. You know, their reasons are more money, more power, you know, all that stuff. The coaches want it. The coaches want it because they get bonuses for making the college football playoff. Even when the playoff has changed, they still get bonuses. So the coaches, there were eight coaches who voted on this, and they voted unanimously for it. It led to Brett Bielema saying, you know, those coaches who were on the panel who voted, he said, they've only coached in three playoff games. So Bielema was basically saying, you know why they voted for it, you know, and he's not wrong. So, you know, I think two things can be true. Their reasons for it are money grubbing and power. My reason for wanting it is because 12 wound up being way better than 4, and I'm willing to give 24 a chance to see if that's way better than 12.
Well, the last thing, I just don't want to see Lenorius Sellers going down against the Raging Cajuns when we had a chance to win the national championship.
Yep, I get it. Yep. I get it, Galen. It's a good job. It's a good point, Galen. Call more often.
Yep.
Thank you. Good job. Yeah, look, those are good calls, okay? John's call is a good call. Galen's call is a good call. These are good calls. They're fair points. They're good conversations. And this stuff needs to be aired out. But, again, I think what's interesting is that a lot of people who were vehemently opposed to 12 wound up liking the 12, wound up believing that this was the best playoff we ever saw. And I think last year's playoff was the most entertaining playoff we've seen. I think that's pretty clear to me. I was engaged. I couldn't wait to see the games. More games was better. Look, like I said, we have to distinguish the two sides. Okay, their reasons for doing it are completely different from the reasons I might want to see it. I don't get any money from it, but they're going to make a lot more money. And apparently they think they need more money, and maybe they do with NIL. But they're going to expand. Their reason for expansion is more money. The coach's reason is that they have bonus payments based on making the playoff. The playoff becomes easier to make. They get those bonuses. So that's the reason that the powers that be voted for it and that they want it. the reason that I want it is because 12 turned out to be way more interesting than 4, and I think 24 is going to turn out to be more interesting than 12. Now, I don't want it to go beyond that, but I think that that's what I believe right now. I believe I'm going to be really engaged. I'm going to have more high-level games, more interesting games to watch. I think the top has never been closer to the bottom. I think some of the power of the top, some of the depth of the top has been reduced. Therefore, I think it's conceivable that a team 18 could win it in the right situation. I don't think it's going to happen every year. Look, in standard years, I don't think the expansion to 12 is going to change the outcome that you – excuse me. The expansion to 24 is going to change the outcome you would have had at 12 in most years. In other words, I think you're going to wind up with the same field at 12, basically, when that plays out. Now, there might be an upset or two, all right, which we can allow for. But there may be years, and I think there almost certainly will be, depending on how long this lasts, where Team 18 rises up. They were hurt during the year. They were playing their best football at the end. Again, Miami was close to that last year. Miami barely made the playoff field, and they came within a whisker of winning the national championship. And I think when you look at what the SEC did last year and you see how poorly the league performed and the things that Kirby Smart has said, I think that sort of proves that the playing field has been leveled. Therefore, you know, I think 24 continues to level it. I want to see it. I want to see what it looks like. I think it's going to be pretty good. That's my belief on it as of now. And I don't think it's going to lessen the product. I think it's going to enhance it. I think it's going to be better. Let me tell you about my friends at AMPM Farms. Look, locally raised, ethically handled, humanely harvested, know your farmer, know your food. These are sort of important things. When you shop for beef and at AMPM Farms or anything else, but especially their beef, you know where you're getting it. It's a local farm with you know, 750 head of cattle that from the farm to the plate is 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. It's the best beef you've ever put in your mouth. There's nothing close to it. If I don't care where you're going to get your beef right now, once you go to AMPM Farms, you're not going where you're going right now. I've had it all at AMPM Farms. And like I said, it's just unbelievable. AMPM Farms is among the upstate's largest family-owned farm-to-table operations with retail locations and marketplace supporting local partners. Visit any location, join AMPM Farms Reward Program, enter one beef buck for every $1 spent. Plus, you'll receive additional offers and updates. 202 Southwestern Street in Fountain Inn, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, 164 South Main Street, Suite B in Traveler's Rest. And oh, by the way, AMPM Farms, named after Ashley and Platt Moore, hence the A, the P, and the M, is a 505-acre working farm in Fountain Inn between Fountain Inn and Woodruff, and true farm-to-table market with complete traceability. And again, so many curated vendors a part of AMPM Farms, just the best of the best. Get there. You will 100% thank me later. And they're open 7 days a week, a true farmer's market that's open 7 days a week. Quick break.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home, and it should be true.
Gilstrap's been around almost as long as the Harlem Globetrotters. That's just insane. They've been covering the upstate for four generations. They're the most experienced. They have the best ratings and reviews. They're the absolute best. They're the upstate's go-to for quality roofs and have been for over 90 years. Storm damage, roof replacement, roof repair, they do it all. You're working with an experienced team of roofers who specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, flat roofs for residential, commercial, industrial customers. Ramona talks all the time about Brian Gilstrap and how much trust you can have in Brian Gilstrap and his team. And you have heard the unsolicited testimonials from people on air who have said the exact same thing. There is a reason somebody is in business 90 years. The reason is they do right by you. That's it. The Gilstrap Roofing, They've been serving the upstate since 1935. Family owned and operated across four generations. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. A full-service roofing contractor. Extensive experience with hail damage and wind damage claims. GAF Master Elite Certified gives the option to upgrade your warranty. Like and follow Gilstrap Roofing on Facebook and Instagram for a chance to win their monthly giveaway. I promise you won't want to miss out. Call today, 864-269-1232. Tell them I sent you, 864-269-1232. Visit them online, gilstraproofing.com, gilstraproofing.com. Jason, it's a big night, Jason.
It is, man. Hopefully my Wolves bring the big boy pants like the other night. So, yep.
Must have. You have to have this one.
Yeah, if we lose this one, I got a feeling it's over.
Yeah, but, agreed.
Hopefully Anthony's got the juice in his legs. You know, let's make some plays. Let's hit some shots.
I think you have to start him. I think you did the bench thing. Okay, I don't think he's particularly well suited for coming off the bench. I think he's a guy who needs to be in the flow all game. Okay, it's time to stop worrying about, you know, minutes and all that stuff, and put him back in the starting lineup and take your best shot at this.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully we get a stronger game from Julius. I mean, you know, it was the Timberwolves podcast I was listening to, and yeah, a lot of times we have to come back to, hey, Julius is the de facto number two on this team, you know, and sometimes he's brilliant. And in the Denver, I thought he had a really good Denver series.
Yep.
And he can be physical and push Wimby around, and like he did in game one in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And he can close out a game like he did in game one, you know. But if we could just – we need Ant and Julius firing at the same time for sure, you know.
Yeah, no question.
Hey, this is funny now.
Look, you need everybody. You need McDaniels. You need Shannon. You need the whole bunch. I mean, but I think that I will be surprised if Ant is not starting tonight. I would be surprised. I don't think you can lose game three with your best player coming off the bench.
Yeah, that would be very unfortunate. Hey, I'm glad that, you know, we have solidarity. I heard what you said about the Thunder and the Lakers and the flopping. And Walt, we have gone into bizarro world. We live in a world now where, let's look at the tape, Austin Reeves, Luka, LeBron, and J.J. Redick are complaining about officiating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious, although they had a case. They definitely had a case last night, but it's still fun.
Well, not if you listen to the Oklahoma City announcer. The Oklahoma City announcer is the biggest friggin' homer I have ever heard. I mean, you have to go back to like Johnny Most of Boston to find a guy who's is this degree of homer. I mean, he's like almost impossible.
Paul Carlson with the White Sox.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one for people who don't know. Hawk Harrelson played with the Red Sox, played with the White Sox. Oh, my God. I mean, I actually played a clip of Hawk Harrelson sometime recently. Again, you're 100% right. Probably the worst baseball homer of all time. But this dude with OKC, ka-ching, another Thunder money ball. They have been wronged on every single play. And you can't believe a word he says. Like, you know, he will tell you that every flagrant and every foul against them is not a foul. And then, you know, I can't believe that they're calling Shea with a flagrant. And then you watch it and you're like, what? Are you kidding me, dude? You're arguing against that.
Broke Reeves' arm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that dude is the absolute worst I have heard in a long, long time. And you can't trust anything he says. You know, you want to be able to trust a radio announcer. You can't trust anything that he says.
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember earlier this season, Chris Finch got ejected in the first quarter against them, and the Wolves wound up winning.
Yeah.
But I know he did it on purpose, and then he talked about it and got fined after the game. But he got ejected in the first quarter after like 5 minutes of watching it. And it is such a shame because the Thunder are by all rights a great team with great pieces, and they're only going to get better.
It's not just them, though, Jason. It's the whole league. I mean, the whole league let this stuff get.
You know, look at LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the worst of all time.
Yeah, LeBron looks like he's carved out of Mount Olympus, and he's out there, you know, flopping, you know, like a crappy flop.
Yeah.
And it just it's just unbecoming.
It
and,
is.
And I understand why some players bristle the older guys. You know, everybody says, well, you're just being an old guy. Like, that was better back in my day. But I understand when they bristle with some of these comparisons because they see these guys.
And even
Dirk Nowitzki and Nash after the game last night, I don't know if you saw that clip, but Dirk was laughing and saying, he was saying, you know, it's true, the officiating was, it was what it was last night. And he said, but this is the Lakers. And he said the Lakers are just not used to not getting the calls, which is 100% true.
Yeah.
You know, if there's been one franchise that's been propped up over the years by weird calls, it's the Lakers.
It is so different, though. If you go back and you watch the way the game was played at periods of time, whether it was Riley's Knicks or Daly's Pistons or – you know, I mean, the physicality was insane. The way the Jordan rules that the Pistons employed for Jordan, just Anthony Mason and the New York Knicks and the way that they played against people. And then, you know, if
Oakley.
Right. And if you go back to like, when the Celtics were playing the Lakers in one of those series in Bird. Bird basically came out. They had lost a game, and they were in trouble in the series. And Bird basically came out publicly and said, "We are a bunch of pufftas." I mean, he came as close to saying, he said, "You know, we're just soft. We're not." That was the ultimate call to action to his team. That was the star saying, "Enough! Stop playing this puffta ball." And start playing. That was, and what was the Celtic response to that? It was the McHale clothesline of Rambis.
Yeah.
And then the whole series changed, and the Celtics went on to win. You know,
and Kareem. Who was Kareem yelling at? Was it Bird?
Bird. Bird and Kareem were going at it. Yep. And again, the level of physicality was insane. And now we've got guys who are play acting that, which is just and league wide and you know, Jason, you can't do this with social media because they're the judge and jury. They're all over this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like nonstop, and it's a bad look for the NBA, a terrible look.
Well, even with the Knicks, look, the Knicks, you know, major market team. I agree with you. They look like the East is theirs now, and that they can compete with whoever comes out the West. But look at Brunson. I mean, he's a great player, but it's the head snapping and the flopping and trying to create contact. I mean, was it you that talked about how they had to redo the rules because of Trae Young? He was jumping backwards into people, and they had to redo the rules about
I don't remember mentioning that, but yeah.
Trae Young was jumping backwards into people trying to get
well, contact. And obviously the flopping rule they have has no teeth, and you're going to have to revisit all this because you just can't have this. I mean, it's just the thing is, you know, you might have been able to do this 30 years ago, but you can't do it now because everything is under a microscope. We see every single thing in slow motion 8 million times. And these are so easy to distinguish, and it's just unbelievable, ridiculous play acting. Yeah, that game one between the Knicks and Sixers, there was like a 2.5 minute period where both sides are just flopping all over like a carp on a 100-degree sidewalk.
Embiid guy, he flops. A big man like that, and he flops. And Joker, I mean, as brilliant as those guys are, that's the shame of it. Like you said, the athletes today, what they're capable of physically and the skill, just take all that other stuff out of the game and it would just improve so much.
Yep.
But anyway, hopefully the Wolves can bounce back with a better effort. Hey, I did get a chuckle while my man Joe from Virginia. Now, Joe, I guess, just stumbled onto the theory that maybe some of these UFOs out there are really just the military industrial complex. Did you catch that?
It's wrong. It's wrong, Jason. That's wrong of you, Jason.
It's 2026, and Joe just considered the fact that some of these things might be secretive.
Hey, Jason, I forgot to ask a couple people, Ramona, and this was wrong of me. Do you watch the Bewitched, Jason? You big binge watcher of the Bewitched, are you?
No, when you were talking about that, I thought,
who does that except for maybe like when I was homesick in the 80s?
Right.
And, you know, like TBS had like a couple episodes, but I never binge. You basically would just watch cartoons into whatever was on TBS.
Right.
And it was Andy Griffith and Bewitched, but I never binge watched it, I would say.
NBA Satellite Radio.
NBA
Satellite Radio, legitimate conversation today about binge watching Bewitched and how great it is. I wanted to hit my radio to make sure that this was still satellite, that I said that I hadn't somehow through like some Twilight Zone thing gone back to like the 1960s or something, and I was listening to AM.
I do remember my grandmother talking about how it was a big deal when they switched Darren's on Bewitched. Do you remember that?
I gotta go, Jason. I gotta run. Good talking to you. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Ace Home Co. Hey, now that it's time to switch your system over to cool, what happens when you flip on that AC and nothing happens? Or worse, it's blowing warm air, making it even hotter in your home. Look, you need to call Ace Home Co. right now. That's why homeowners across the upstate call Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air, the bold white and blue team at Ace. Their mission is simple: protect and perfect your home. If your air conditioner needs a repair or a professional tune-up for peace of mind before the heat really kicks in, their team will get your system run the way you should the same day you call. And that there's something I really love about Ace. They repair where it's fair. And what I mean by that is, look, if your system can be repaired properly, they're going to repair it. No pressure, no upsells, no push and replacement where it's not necessary. And the smartest way to stay ahead of those surprise breakdowns is with the Home Comfort membership. Do this. You'll thank me later. Which includes service discounts and routine maintenance twice a year to keep your system running efficiently all year long to make sure you don't have any breakdowns in the heat of summer and that type of thing. No matter the season, though, schedule your HVAC service today at acehomeco.com. Acehomeco.com. They're the absolute best. You'll thank me later. You all know the white and blue trucks. They're legendary. Call them. You'll thank me. All right, quick break. A lot to come in a short period of time.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold.
25, is that it? We're on a 525?
Yes.
Let me tell you about Jeannie Mahaffey, insurance for seniors and disabled. She's the absolute best. You need her on your side. As a layperson, you can't navigate this. And quite honestly, that industry is filled with scammers. And I mean, absolutely filled. Your answer is right here. Your answer is right here. Jeannie Mahaffey has been helping people in the upstate and Georgia and North Carolina for well over 20 years. Our service comes at no cost to you. We service our Medicare customers after the sale. We believe in customer service. We'll return all your calls. We want to help you enroll in the plan that best suits your needs. And if we don't know the answer to your question, we'll find the right answer, not just any answer. We enjoy helping Medicare customers. Medicare is the only thing we do. And you can reach Jeannie and her incredible team at 864-307-8484, 864-307-8484. That's 864-307-8484. And as always, tell them I sent you. Just like Justin did, Ramona, with AMPM Farms. Justin wrote me. He just went to AMPM Farms. He said, and I told him, Walt, that you sent us. And thank you, Justin, and enjoy everything you got. And Herb wrote us also, Ramona, about AMPM Farms. Let them know this, too. And Herb is talking about the sausage. And I've heard this, and that the sausage is like world-renowned, trust me. And Herb said the sausage is light years better than it is at any other place. And both of those just came in the last couple seconds. So more testimonials for AMPM Farms. On the Clemson baseball front, and obviously getting set to come your way, this is sort of the final stand. It's a must-have. Florida State's going with Lefty Mendez, and Clemson's going with Dan Mueller, and Dane Mueller, and you know, Dane struggled a little last week on Friday. I can't remember if he got out of those two innings. You know, you're going to see a whole staff approach, I'm sure, from Clemson again. A lot of different, but you want to save some arms for Saturday and Sunday too. On Saturday it's Michael Sharman. On Sunday it's Aiden Canuck, with sort of the new order. So you'll get Dane Mueller first, and then you'll get Sharman and Canuck. And for Florida State, you're going to get Mendez, Beard, and more. Florida State obviously has some pop. There's some power on this team. They can score runs. That's what really worries me. The last couple teams Clemson played were sort of small ball teams, with Boston College and Coastal. Good teams, but teams that won in different ways. I mean, BC does it with, you know, getting on base and a lot of stolen bases, and Coastal does it with a lot of walks and a lot of hit by pitches. But neither one of those teams has a lot of pop. This is Florida State has way more slug, way more power, and that's what worries me. Now, they've not been great on the road. Their home road splits are somewhat different, and like a lot of teams. So, I mean, I think that's your hope. But it feels like this game today is an absolute must. I mean, if you lose today, I think you can definitely start making plans for next year. So this is it. This is the last stand for this particular version of Clemson baseball. And regardless of how this plays out, I think you'll see Eric Backage and staff attack it. And I think this team will look a lot different next season. That's my belief. So that's all coming your way in just a little bit. You know, Ramona, I want to warn you people about, we didn't play our dentist thing.
Yeah, we have our dentist thing.
Oh, well, you know what? Let's play that first. This is where was this? This is a real-life encounter by a woman who's going to let you know that she's a dentist.
The dentist, it says New Jersey. Okay.
She's going to let you know, like, multiple times that she's a dentist. She gets stopped by the police. Here's what the police have to deal with. They have to deal with people like this woman. And I'll just let this play out. I think it speaks for itself.
Follow the tip of my tongue with your eyes and your eyes only. Don't move your head, okay? You understand?
Got it.
Wait, so I don't understand. You're saying that somebody else got in this car and moved it?
No, I'm saying that, like, everything was fine, and then we were, like, heading back home, and then my friend was gonna drive home, and then everything went.
So where's your friend?
In that bar.
Is she back into that car?
Yeah.
We need her.
Well, it's fine. I backed into it. I'm going to take responsibility.
Who really did it? Who was driving this car?
Me.
Okay, well, why are you saying your friend?
I'm going to take responsibility.
Are you driving, or is it somebody else driving that's in the bar?
No one.
Who was in this car and backed into that car?
Neither me or my friend, to be honest. Yeah, it becomes complicated because I'm also a doctor, and then it makes myself complicated.
Somebody backed into that little car right there.
It was not me.
Was it this car?
For that damage, no.
Well, there's a mark right on your bumper.
Oh, well then, maybe you're right then.
Okay, how much did you have to drink?
I had two martinis, and I wasn't planning on driving home, so I was going to stay here and Uber, so.
Well, then how'd the car move?
My friend.
See, you keep saying that. Who is in the car driving? If you're not honest, then we're going to move further here.
I'm not going to tell you who's going to drive the car home. I'm a dentist. I do teeth. I'm in this area, so I really can't. I don't want to look bad, so.
We're going to look at the cameras.
It was me or my friend. It was one of the two of us, so. It's freezing.
Are you afraid about getting a ticket or something?
I am, yeah, because I'm like a dentist in this town. It's like
A dentist.
It's a minor accident. We don't write tickets for this.
Just do SFSC. I'm going to ask him to look at the camera.
She won't tell us if she was driving.
She was certainly driving.
Oh, she was driving.
100%.
We both watched her.
We watched her get in the vehicle, absolutely. 1,000,000% she got in the vehicle.
All right. Come across the street with me, okay? Can you see the tip of my pen? Okay. I want you to follow the tip of my pen with your eyes only. Do not move your head. All right?
Where are you going?
Stand with your feet together. Arms down to your side. That's going to be a starting position. Yeah, no issues with balance, anything like that, right?
No. All right. It's freezing.
You already did this, but just put your hands by your side. Follow the tip of my pen with your eyes and your eyes only. Don't move your head, okay? You understand?
Got it.
Follow the tip of my pen.
I'm falling. It's yes. That extreme.
Yep. You're being arrested for driving while intoxicated. So, yes.
I mean,
that was weird, wasn't it?
First of all, have you ever heard anybody tell the same lie, the same ambiguous universal letter lie more times than the like a dentist did? She said the last time she said I'm like a dentist.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you mean you're like a dentist?
She
doesn't even know whether she's an actual dentist now. She's like a dentist. She started out as a doctor. She morphed into a dentist. I'm a dentist. I'm a dentist in the area. And then at the last time she said it, she was like a dentist.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like quite the same thing.
It doesn't.
No, like a dentist.
And she couldn't decide whether she was driving or the friend was driving.
Right.
She didn't want to produce the friend.
Right. She wanted to have some ambiguous ghost-like friend who could have been driving. So, you know, well, I'll take responsibility. Well, so you were driving. Well, no, my friend.
Yeah.
But
it could be me or my friend.
Right, it could be me or my friend. But I'm not going to tell you which. She actually said that one time. Well, I'm not going to tell
you. The more you talk, the drunker you sound.
Right.
That's what happened.
Right. And she repeated the same thing. The cop is trying to be polite. He's like, which is it? Who was it? So he finally went into the bar. And he asked the people there whether, now again, that's not really evidence, and I don't know if that will stand up in court, but unanimously, it was like when Norm used to walk in the bar and cheers, and they all yelled Norm. I mean, they all yelled her.
Yeah, they all
did. It was
did.
She. She was the one driving it. She was clearly driving it, but she refused to give the information. She somehow thought that if she's ambiguous as possible, that they won't know who to write the ticket
to. That made it worse.
Right.
The more she talked, the worse she sounded.
Right. She should have taken the fifth. That's what the fifth is for.
I don't know. If she was going to talk, she should have just said it was me and tried to stay as straight as possible.
Right.
Because they weren't going to give her a ticket. It was an accident.
Right. I mean,
but
they.
She just kept talking and sounding worse and worse, so that's why they probably figured out.
Well, yeah, they got sick of her after a while. I mean, you know.
They have a job that I just wouldn't want.
No.
To deal with that crap all the time.
They have to deal with all people like us, you know, and like her, worse, like her. Yeah. Now, you know, I've said this before. I don't. Those drunk tests, I mean, those are designed to put you in the slammer. You know what I mean? I mean, like. I think there are a lot of people who couldn't do those stupid tests. You know, one of them is stand on your foot, one foot like a stork for there are a lot of people who can't do that.
Yeah,
a lot of people can't do that. And this put your one foot right in front of the other. I mean, I think those are like designed to make you, I mean, you're a little fatigued. You'll probably fail that one. But that woman definitely was drunk and definitely needs to be hauled off somewhere. No question about it. No question about it.
Me and my friend.
Yeah, and the police do have to deal. They have to deal with a lot. I mean, you know, I mean, every single person you stop has some sort of litany of excuses. And this like a dentist kept repeating the exact same thing over and over. And the cops just trying to say, look, were you driving or was your friend driving? And she's like, well, you know, well, I'll take responsibility. Okay, I'm sorry. What does that mean? So were you driving?
You're driving?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no,
well,
I wasn't driving.
Like,
well, yeah, I was
well,
driving.
Yeah, I was. But like my friend was. And then, but I'll take responsibility. Who was driving?
And she goes, for that damage? No.
Right, like there's multiple damages. Yeah, yeah. Like there's multiple. Yeah. Maybe they hit multiple vehicles. Yeah. I'm not sure.
That's crazy.
Right. How many vehicles did they hit? I don't know. It's just the whole thing is insane, and it just, like I said, if you are a cop today, man, the stuff that you got to deal with is just got to be absolutely unbelievable. It's not good. Before I take care of some business, I want to give you a little warning about something else here on a Friday before we get out of here. We live in a world full of absolute scammers. I mean, absolute scammers. These people call your home. They at like all times of day and night. I mean, they get your cell phone number. They call your cell phone. I want to alert you to a new scam that I've sort of come across the last couple days on my cell phone. And there were multiple versions of this, okay? And I don't really remember what the first one was, but the more recent one. And so let me just tell you, I get this area code call, right? With somebody who's like claiming familiarity with me or something, right? And so I look up the area code because I know this has to be some sort of scam, okay? My scam alert detector is going off. I look up the area code. The area code's British Columbia, and it's in the specific area code is discussed when you look it up as a scamming area code.
Is that right?
Yeah. So subsequent to that, I've had three others, and they've all been similar. The first one was, Are you still living in South Carolina? Because I'm gonna have some time coming up, and I'd like to come down and see you.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know what this scam is. I have no idea, but I also looked up these subsequent area codes. They're all out of British Columbia. I don't know anybody in British Columbia, just to be clear. nor do I want to know anybody in British Columbia. But it came from different area codes within British Columbia. So it's not the same person. There isn't some unknown person. No, no. This is some sort of scam, and I'm not playing it out. For example, I've not answered these. I've not clicked on these on my cell phone.
Right.
So they still have the little blue mark. I'm not clicking on them because I don't know what their little game is. And these scammers have. I think that if you respond to it, they're probably going to hit you with some sort of phone charge or something.
Something.
Be my guess is what they're trying to bait you into it. But watch for this because this is apparently one of the newer scams. But some of these area codes, when you actually do a search on them, warn that it's like a scamming area code. It's an area code that's known. Uh-huh. It's known for its scams. So. I think I've had five of these in the last few days. This is starting to turn into like the Nigerian prince thing. You know?
Yeah, the email.
Right, right. And again, apparently, Ramona, who knew how popular I was? I mean, I have friends all over British Columbia I didn't know. They're writing me and calling me from different area codes in British Columbia, bro. Different places in British Columbia. They all want to come down and see me.
How about that?
Am I still in South Carolina? I'm not answering that. Yeah, I'm not answering whether I'm still in South Carolina. I got an answer for you, but to give you the answer, I think is going to cost me some money if I even dare to respond to it at all. So beware, the scammers are out there everywhere, and if you haven't received these yet, you're probably going to start to because like I said, I had never seen this until the last few days, and now, like I said, I'm getting all these messages from all over British Columbia, where I have apparently, like I said, multiple friends, close friends in British Columbia.
Wanted to see you.
Right, in multiple areas of British Columbia, who all want to come down to see me in South Carolina at basically the same time. So watch out for these people because they're out there. I mean, can't you people find something positive to do with your time? If you use the same type of energy on this, you'd probably be wildly successful. The type of energy you're trying to scam people with, we use it for good. How about that? Try that. British Columbia, you friggin' losers. Now I hate British Columbia. So beware, you're going to get some messages from British Columbia, along with the Nigerian prince. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Lake Kiwi. Hurry in for the best selection. It's the giant spring clearance sale. Get there now before the vehicle you want gets sold. With discounts this big, these vehicles are going to fly. Big news, Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Spring clearance sale is on. So this is your chance to get the biggest discounts of the year. I'm talking saving up to $15,000 off the sticker price on new trucks. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and saving 15 grand on a new truck is huge. It's insane is what it is. Not sure what you want? At Lake Kiwi, you can test drive them both because they've got a ton of brand new F-150s and new Rams for you to choose from. Do a side-by-side comparison. See which truck you like best. Lake Kiwi also has a ton of low-mileage, one-owner, pre-owned trucks in stock. You can test drive those too. Because Lake Kiwi has over 600 vehicles on the lot and ready for delivery. It's the biggest selection in the upstate. They're all clearance price for this spring clearance sale. Again, the biggest selection in the entire upstate, and they're all clearance price. And get this, buy now and get zero payment for 90 days, plus 0% financing is available. So hurry to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson. Shop online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. Whether you go, whether you call, tell them I sent you. That is the way it works. Clemson's last stand, baseball versus Florida State, coming your way now.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7 so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. Money is on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free at Quo.com/sports. That's Quo.com/sports to try Quo free. Quo.com/sports.
When you're hiring,